Go back to Psalm 40 now. As I said to you in the text, we're going to continue going through the Psalms that you have requested. And this one was requested by Sister Brenda Pendrick, Mother Kelly's mother. I've known her for years. I knew her before I knew Kelly. And I hope you're listening, Brenda. I hope you're with us. I wanted to look at this several months ago. You all requested these various psalms. Well, it's been 2 or 3 months ago or more. And I started looking at it, but it didn't speak to me at the time. So I looked at it again later, and it still didn't speak to me. You ever done that? We all have. This is a lesson in prayer and perseverance, I believe. Waiting. So I just waited because what a psalm this is. I kept reading and asking the Lord to speak to me. He did. Finally, He did. And it was such a blessing. And we have looked at singular verses throughout this psalm. There are several verses that make up a whole message, and we've done just that. Such as verse 16, "Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified." Or those verses where the Lord said, "Lo, I come, and the volume of the book is written of me. And blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust," and so on. Now we're going to try to look at the whole psalm tonight. This psalm, all of God's Word is God's Word. Though it was written by David, it's God's Word. Peter said that. No scriptures of any private or personal interpretation. 2 Peter 2. 20 and 21. Holy men spake as they were moved by the Spirit of God. David, the Lord moved him to write these words like he did Isaiah, Jeremiah. But it's also David's words. David's speaking. It's from his heart. And the Lord, you can recognize different men's personalities in their writing, just like when you write letters, and same here. It's David's word. And the Lord uses men, uses people. It's Christ's word. There's some words here that absolutely must apply to Christ. "Lo, in the volume of the book it's written of me." That's Christ. We talk about the Psalms being messianic, meaning they pertain to Christ. Well, all of them do. They either speak of Him or it's Him speaking. Like Isaiah 53, the eunuch asked Philip, "Is the prophet writing about himself or some other man?" And Philip said, "Another man, Jesus Christ." But this psalm is David's psalm. It's the Lord's word. It's the words of Christ. And here's what Spurgeon said. And we'll get into it in just a second. But Spurgeon said, there's such a union between Christ and His people. They're so one. It's often difficult to know who's speaking. In fact, what he says, we hardly agree with him. Everything he says, as he is, so are we. And we're going to see that, especially in verses 7 and following. Verse 1, "I waited patiently for the Lord." The margin, and this is why I like the Cambridge King James Bible so much. In the margin, it says, you have it, it says, "In waiting, I waited." I wait patiently. Patience is not something we have by nature. And it seems to be one of the hardest things for us to attain unto. We have to obtain it. No, we don't attain it. How we need patience. To wait on the Lord. Now, by waiting on the Lord, it doesn't mean like the world waits and hopes. We all have to wait. You have to wait. You're forced to wait. But David said, I'm willingly waiting on the Lord before I do anything. The world waits, but wait is they hope, wish, and wait, and hope things are going to turn out right.
Right? Right now. The world is waiting for somebody to get us out of this. Hoping it'll all turn out all right. Well, brethren, I know it's going to turn out all right. Why? Because the Lord said, all things work together. Why are things going to turn out all right? Because the Lord worketh all things after the counsel of His will, and all things work according to His purpose and for our good. So we're not hoping and wishing and, you know, luck, chance, you know, hope it turns out all right. No, we're waiting on the Lord. We're going to wait and see. And when it all ends, we're going to see. We wait on the Lord. We're going to see what His purpose is. We're going to see. I've already seen, haven't you, some of His purpose in all this? What a blessing it's been. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. David was a praying man, as all of God's people are. Look at the verses right before this. Chapter 39, verse 12. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear unto my cry. Hold not thy peace at my tears. I'm a stranger with this, sojourner as all my fathers were. Spare me that I may recover strength. All the Psalms, that's why we love them so much. Just a sinner calling on God for mercy, for help, for grace. A helpless sinner. That's who David was. David's the king of Israel, the most powerful man on earth. But he realized, sister, he has no power at all. He waits on the Lord to help him, to strengthen him, to encourage him. David was afraid just like anybody else, wasn't he? He said, what time I'm afraid, I trust in the Lord. When I don't know what to do, I wait on the Lord. When I think I know what to do, I still wait on the Lord. Isn't that wisdom? Now wait, and he heard me, inclined unto me, and heard my cry. David's the one that wrote in Psalm 8, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Why? David was just amazed that the Lord would hear him at all. And he said he did, he inclined. Lord, will you hear? Yes, he will. Isaiah wrote one time, he said that the Lord would hear us before we called. His people who call unto Him in the name of Christ. He inclined His ear and He heard my cry. My cry. God's people are like little, they are His little children. And they cry. They cry. Do you still cry? You're a grown man. I'm not going to ask you. We all do, don't we? You're crying right now. Good. We all cry, don't we? Because when it's all said and done, we're helpless little babies. And He's our Heavenly Father. And we cry out of Him. Tell me, Margaret, when that boy and that girl were babies, did you hear their cry? Max sound asleep, snoring. You heard every peep, didn't you? I'd like to ask Hope if she hears her fourth one crying. I don't know. I believe that because I was the fourth. And I don't think she didn't know where I was. That's just not so. She knew. But after experience, she knew when the cry was desperate and when it was not. If you have one, you jump up at everything. If you have four, let's wait and see. But here's the point. When we cry, He hears us. David even said our tears are in His bottom. I'm going to try to preach Sunday morning on our hairs of our head being numbered. He heard my cry. He hears His people. Though we don't think so. The Lord gave the parable of the widow, who the importunate widow that kept coming to the unjust judge. The unjust judge, avenge me of my adversary. And the unjust judge said, give her what she wants. She's bothering me. Well, our Lord said, how much more shall the Father avenge His very elect, though they cry day and night, and He bear long with them, but He doesn't seem to be here. He's hurt. He hears every cry. Yes, He does. Not a word in our mouth, a thought in our head, that He doesn't know it altogether. Isn't that wonderful? Well, what'd you cry for, David? I'm in a pit.
You ever been in a pit? Are you in a pit now? Anybody?
He brought me up also out of a horrible pit. He brought me out of a horrible pit. This is to say, read on. And he, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my going. This is the saving testimony of all God's people that are saved by sovereign grace and mercy in the Lord Jesus Christ. All saved by Christ from their sin. Set our feet on a rock, which is Christ Himself. Out of a pit, horrible pit, world of sin, slime pits, a dung heap. Sit us among princes in heavenly places. Established our going. There was a time when you wouldn't find me going to the house of worship. I thought I knew where I was going. There was a way that I thought was right. And if the Lord left me in my goings, I would have destroyed myself. But God brought me up out of a horrible pit. Brought me up. Sister Robin was playing. He lifted me out of the deep miry clay. He settled my feet in the straight and narrow way. He lifted me up to a heavenly place and floodeth my soul each day with His grace. I heard Brenda sing that one time. Horrible pit. He brought me up. This is the language. This is the testimony of all of God's people. We don't say, I got saved. No, we say, the Lord saved me. The Lord brought me up. This is a difference, isn't it? He brought me up. Salvation's of the Lord. He did it. That's our language. Set my feet on a rock. We just sang that. How firm a foundation, you saints of the Lord. Everything in this world is shifting sand, isn't it? Man's wisdom is shifting in it. Man's way, everything is shifting, sand, shaking. The Lord said, very soon He's going to shake the whole earth to where the only thing standing is what can't be shaken. What's that? Christ. The truth. Rock. Solid. God's Word is a rock. Eternal. God is our rock. You know how often it speaks of God being our rock? That's why Psalm 62 kept saying it. He's our rock, eternal in His age and firm and unchanging. His Word is solid, is firm. You can trust Him, you can believe Him. His Son is the cleft of the rock. Christ crucified. How firm, how solid, how... It's absolute truth. God is absolutely true. His Word is absolutely true. Christ is the truth. He set my feet upon a rock. Christ Jesus, and establish my going. Where are you going, David? With Him. I'm following Him. Verse 3. He put a new song in my mouth. Even praise unto our God. Oh, that's a new song to me years ago. I wasn't singing that years ago. Man, oh man. I'm ashamed of what the songs that were in my mouth and in my heart then. Very much ashamed. But a new song. A new song. Gospel's good news. That's the song we sing. It's put a new song in my mouth. Praise to the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord. Can you imagine the children of Israel coming out of Egypt that next morning singing? Can you hear that song? They've been in the slime pits, been in captivity. And if every one of them are together. Can you imagine what that singing must have been like? Miriam was before him with a tabra. And can you imagine after they went through that Red Sea and saw all their enemies? No more fears, no more worries, promised land ahead of them. Can you hear their song? Well, that's the way it is with every sinner saved by grace. I wish it were that way after every time we hear the gospel, don't you? He put a new song, praise unto our God. Verse 3, many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Many shall see and fear and trust in the Lord. You know, a sinner saved by grace is a living testimony to the living God. Many shall see. The people said in John chapter 9, that blind man, he was born blind. Everybody in town knew it. His face was disfigured. His countenance was disfigured. His eyes were sunken in. He was a beggar. His whole persona was a beggar and a blind man and poor and wretched and miserable and blind. He probably looked bad and smelled bad. Okay, when the Lord came by and took something from his mouth and opened his blind eyes, when it was all over, they said, "That can't be him." Remember that? They all said, somebody said, "That's him." No, I said, "That's not him." His mother said, "That's him, all right." Somebody's done something for him. The woman at the well. Remember that? She's ashamed to show her face. That's why she went to the well in the middle of the day. Didn't want to see anybody. They didn't go to the well in the hot part of the day. Women didn't. They go in the morning. She went when she thought nobody else would be there. She was ashamed of herself. She's a harlot. And she met Christ. And she ran home, told everybody. She's not ashamed of him. She's ashamed of herself. She's not ashamed of him. And buddy, they all came on her word. Many shall see and fear and trust in the Lord. And they did. And they came and they heard Christ himself. I'm still amazed the Lord would use this poor fellow, preacher, and this little place on the hill. Aren't you? Brother Gabe told me that they kept meeting, you know, when this all started, like we did. And a man from the community came in and said, "You're the only church in all of Kingsport's meeting." I wanted to come someplace. "You're the only place around here's meeting." You know what? He's still coming. Many shall see and fear and do what? Trust in the Lord. Brethren, it's always been there. But do you not see it now more than ever? Trust in the Lord. What's that mean? Just what it says. Trust in the Lord. Verse 4. "Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud or such as turn aside to lies." I don't know why we want to believe liars. Men and women who don't have our good in mind, really. There's the next election in mind. Seriously, you know it's so. Oh, happy. Blessed means happy is that person that makes the Lord his trust. Are you happy right now? Look around the world. You don't see many happy people, do you? Do you, brother? I mean, they're miserable. I feel sorry for them. I really do. Oh, how blessed. I was glad when they said to me, "I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to be here." Trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. Oh, the proud. Those that lie. Verse 5. "Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done." Many. God's creation. Psalm 8, I quoted a portion a while ago. He said, "When I consider the heavens and work of thy fingers." Let me read it to you. He says, "When I consider the heaven, the work of thy fingers, the moon, the stars, which thou hast ordained." Many are his wonderful works, works of creation, works of providence. Listen to this. Oh, you can just turn anywhere in the psalm. Good. Listen to this. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." What benefits, David? "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Who healeth all thy diseases." If you get a sickness, the Lord gave it to you. If you get healed, the Lord's going to heal you. Because it's the Lord. Right? It's his work. He worketh all things. "Who forgiveth all, who redeemeth thy life from destruction." Delivering from going down in the pit.
I found a ransom.
That's what he said. You're done. He said this many times. That's what Elihu preached, isn't it? The Lord said this many times, about many. He redeems your life from destruction, crowneth thee with loving kindnesses and tender mercy, who satisfieth thy mouth with good. Many, O Lord, are thy wonderful work. His work, greatest work of all. I've already mentioned it. It's salvation. Election's not a doctrine. It's a work of God. Adoptions are not a doctrine. It's a work of God. If you're an orphan, and somebody comes and takes you home with them, that ain't a doctrine. That's mercy. And boy, you're going to thank Him. Bless the Lord. Oh, my soul, His wonderful works, His thoughts to us were His thoughts. David said, if I reckon them up in order, if I tried to enumerate them or list them, if I declare, they're more than I can be numbered. In fact, God thinks on His people every day, all their lives. There's not a moment going by. They didn't think about it. I want you to turn to Jeremiah 29, okay? I read this in the study today, and I thought, I'm going to get Pentecostal sitting here. I wanted to just holler and shout. I kind of did out loud a little bit. But it's on Jeremiah 29. This is wonderful. Wonderful. Jeremiah 29. Look at verse 11. I know the thoughts I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Read on, it gets even better. Then shall ye call upon me, and you'll go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye search for me with all your heart, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord. And I will turn away your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations, from all places whither I've driven you, saith the Lord. I'll bring you into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. I'm going to bring you all the way home. Amen. Go back to Psalm 40. Oh, his thoughts toward us. Thoughts of peace, he said. Thoughts of love. Thoughts of mercy. Thoughts of grace. Thoughts of pity, as a father pitieth his children. I've told you before that one of the emotions I feel more than anything for my granddaughter and my daughter, but and I go in and look at them when they're asleep on their bed. Still. Even my 36-year-old daughter. And the thought, you know, the thought that just wells up within me? Pity. 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 Don't you see that? Pity. Pity her having to live in this world. Pity going through this and have to go through this, have to go through that. Pity, pity. Like a father pitieth his children. So the Lord pitieth them. He knows our frame. He became us. He's touched with the feel of our infirmity. He knows how weak we are. He had more strength than we have. He knows that. And He pities us. Oh, His thoughts toward us. Remember that for your peace, okay? He knows you're afraid. He knows that's the frailty of the flesh. It gets afraid. It's flesh. He knows you're afraid of this, afraid of that. He knows that. He had perfect faith. He had perfect knowledge. He had perfect understanding. We don't. He knows that. Oh, but we've got a perfect Lord, don't we? So look to it. Believe and trust it. All right. Verses 6 and following. Oh, my. This is quoted in Hebrews. We're going to turn there. Look at it, verse 6. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, this is Christ speaking. Well, not David, Christ. Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips. O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. I do want you to turn to Hebrews, okay? Very quickly. Hebrews chapter 1, first of all. This is Christ himself speaking. The scripture says so. In Hebrews 1, it begins this way. Hebrews is a summary of the whole Old Testament. Begins God, like Genesis begins. In the beginning, God. God, who at sundry time, divers manners, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophet, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Remember when our Lord said to the disciples, hear him. Whom he hath appointed heir of all things. He owns it all. By whom also he made the world. He's Lord over it all. Who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. Jesus Christ, God, the God-man, reigns and rules, sitteth on the circle of the earth. Jesus, the one that men call Jesus, the man. He's not just a man. He's God. And he reigns and rules. He's not hoping, wishing, wanting anything. He's willing all things, working all things. Seated. When he had by himself, look at this. Speaking of a great work of God, his work, his salvation, by himself purged our sins. Sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. And oh, we could go on and on, couldn't we? All right, go 9 chapters later. Chapter 10. And this quotes Psalm 40. Hebrews 10, verse 5. And all through those chapters, what's it speaking of? The work that Christ came to do. Isn't it? His wonderful work of redemption that Christ came to accomplish by himself. His work. Not a cooperative effort. It's the work of Christ, to the praise of the glory of his grace. Verse 5 says, now when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. That is, the Jews were just going through the motion, but Christ came to do one work, make one sacrifice forever. And he said, lo, I come. The volume of the book it is written of me. All the shadows and types and pictures and ceremonies and symbols and emblems are all speaking of Christ. He came to do God's will. Verse 8. When he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offering and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither had pleasure therein, which are offered by the law, then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will, God's will, we're sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. It's done. There's the work. And David, the Spirit of God got a hold of him after he talked about the wonderful works of the Lord. The Spirit of God began to speak through him. It's Christ speaking through him saying, this is the work. This is the most wonderful work ever. This is God's work. The work of redemption. The reason why the whole universe exists is to show forth this wonderful work of redemption. And Christ said, this is why it's written. In the volume of the book it's written that he came. He came to do God's will. What's God's will? To make you his people. Have a kingdom full of his people. But now, and, you know that God's people, as he is, so are we. As he speaks, so can we. Though the book is not written of us, it's written of Christ, but he's the one who came to save us. We're his people. We were in him. Look at this. Can you not say this, verse 8? I delight to do thy will, O God. Oh, yeah. Thy law is within my heart. That's what God said. He'd write His word on the tables of their heart, didn't He? Verse 9. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Brethren, I have. Haven't I? Whose righteousness? Verse 10. His righteousness. You know it's so. When you talk to people about righteousness, you do. You preach His righteousness. The Lord, your righteousness. We've declared, verse 10, His faithfulness, His salvation. Not concealed it. His truth. Many say they believe it, but they conceal it. They don't believe it, then. No. So as He is, so are we. And we declare His faithfulness. But then David prays again. Verse 11. Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me, O Lord. Withhold not thy mercy and thy truth. You know how often David prays this, mercy and truth. Thy mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. Mercy and truth. Now, mercy and truth, men depart from evil. Mercy and truth. What's that? It's just another phrase that speaks of the gospel. It speaks of Christ. But David, you were so full of faith and assurance. What? Yeah, but I'm a sinner. David would tell you, the last verse, I'm poor and needy. David, you're the king. You're rich. No, not like I want to be. Not in faith, not in peace, not like I want to be. I feel so poor in that area. I'm a sinner. And David had one thing. He said, one thing is needful. David said that. One thing I desire of the Lord. I need mercy. Every day. From when I wake up in the morning till I go to bed at night, I need mercy. This is why I kept writing, brothers. John, His mercy endureth forever. Psalm 136. 26 times, right, Kelly? We'll never forget it. Why do you keep saying that, David? Because it rejoices my heart.
Amen.
His mercy endureth forever. The thing I need the most will never end. Lord, please. Oh, Lord, let Your truth preserve me. Preserve me. You young people remember that preserve, okay? Mindy, your teacher's going to deal with that. Verse 12. Why? Because innumerable evils compass me about, surrounded by evil. The worst is within me. Verse 12. My iniquities have taken hold upon me. You know, our Lord was made sin and He could have said this on the cross, couldn't he? Maybe He did. Mine iniquities taken hold of Him, because what were mine became His, and what was His became mine. Isn't that amazing? But David and we can certainly say our iniquities, Lord, they got a hold of me. Please. Don't you say that all the time? Only sinners saved by grace know what this is. To be constantly vexed by sin without and sin within. Lot was called a just man. Lot was called a righteous man. But Lot was sitting in Sodom. And he wanted out. That's why I believe he was sitting in the gate. Remember, he was sitting in the gate. I think he was crying, Lord, come get me out. He did, didn't he, Kelly? He did. But like Lot, we live in Sodom, don't we? We want out. And we want out of this world of sin, because all that's in the world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, all around us, vexes our new man. The thing that vexes us more than anything is this old man within us. And we want him out. No, you know what I'm saying. Only those born again know what that means. Innumerable evil. I'm not able to look up. The publican in the temple. He came in. Pharisee, you know. Aren't you glad I'm here, Lord? Everybody listen to my prayer now. His prayer didn't get above the ceiling. And God condemned him. But the publican wouldn't lift his eyes up. He was too ashamed. Well, I tell you whose eyes were on him. The Lord. Looked on him with mercy. This is what the Lord said. I tell you, that publican, they wouldn't lift his eyes up. He went down to his house justified from all things. I mean justified. Like just as if he had never sinned. Over. Gone. Put away. What for? For Christ's sake. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, they're more than the hairs of my head. My heart faileth me. David says this over and over again. My heart faileth. My heart faileth. When my flesh and my heart fail me. Fail me. Fail me. Oh, the heart. I can't figure my heart out. Can you? Sometimes I say with David, my heart is fixed. Don't you? And I say with Jeremiah, deceitful above all things. Desperately wicked. Sometimes I say my heart, I trust in the Lord with all my heart. I believe in the Lord with all my heart. Other times I say, time I'm a prayer, I'm praying. I'm fear. Create within me a clean heart. You know what I'm saying. Be pleased, O Lord, verse 13, to deliver me. O Lord, hurry. Well, David, I thought you said you're waiting. Well, I was. What a paradox. So is it. I waited patiently. Well, it wasn't 12 verses. He said, hurry. Don't you love the song? Sometimes we can wait. The Lord makes us to wait. We have no option but to wait. And other times, Lord, hurry. David says this over and over again. Make haste. Help me. And as I said before, the Father knows when the case is desperate. Let them be ashamed. Verse 14, speaking of his enemies, let me go down through here. Let them be ashamed and confounded together, seek after my soul to destroy. Let them be driven backward, put to shame that wish me evil. Let them be desolate for a reward of their shame that say unto me, See there? Let all those that seek thee, though, rejoice and be glad in thee. Certainly that's Christ from the cross and all his enemies surrounded him. Dogs, bulls of Bashan, Psalm 22 called them, surrounded him. He trusted in God, wagged their head. Let's see if God will deliver. Some of those are standing, well, they've already been cast into the lake fire. Boy, they wish they'd never said that. But you know what? You know what I'm going to say, don't you? I did the same thing. I didn't care if he came or lived or died. I had no difference in that world. But I believe that when Christ was hanging on that cross, he prayed that prayer for me. Father, forgive them. He prayed that for somebody. And it's those that believe him now. It's those that ashamed of themselves and glory in him. Father, forgive. They don't know what they're doing. Let all those that seek thee, I do, don't you? Rejoice, I do. And be glad in thee, I am. I am. You got brothers and sisters crying and laughing at the same time, weeping. Tears of joy. Isn't that wonderful? Why? Because they rejoice, those that love his salvation. His salvation. Do you not love that salvation is of the Lord? Man, oh man. Don't you? Salvation is of the Lord. His will, his work, his glory, his blood, his righteousness. Don't you love that? No, God's people do. And they all say, to a man, to a person, the Lord be magnified. He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. But, and he ends this by saying, I am poor and needy. Oh, I'm so poor. I love Psalm 34. He said, this poor man cried. Right after David acted like a wild man, acted like a madman, acted like he didn't have any sense. Brought great reproach on his Lord, didn't he? You remember that story? He wrote Psalm 34, and he said, this poor man cried. His poor excuse for a man, a believer, to cry. And the Lord heard him and delivered him out of all his trouble. And he'll do it again and again and again. You keep crying. Lord, I'm poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. But hurry. Oh my God. Let me just say a word about that. Only sinners say that the right way. Oh my God. Warn your children, warn your neighbors, warn everybody. Don't take the Lord's name in vain. He'll not let hold them guiltless that take his name in vain and say that. Get it? Does it not hurt your heart to hear people say that? But God's people say it the right way. They say, oh my God, in repentance they say, oh my God, forgive me. Have mercy upon me. In faith they say, oh my God, I look to thee. I trust thee. Oh my God. In praise they say, oh my God, thou art wonderful and worthy to be praised. How about you? Stand with me. Our God and our Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for your blessed word, your blessed, blessed word. Oh Lord, we'd be in darkness, we'd be in fear, we'd be in the pit without your word. You sent your word and you lifted us out, sent your Son who came to do thy will. How we thank you, Lord, for Christ and him crucified. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your Son. Thank you for your Spirit. Thank you for your mercy, your truth, your loving kindness, your grace. Thank you for all things in Christ's name. Amen. You're dismissed.